Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Name we pray. We would like to just let you know that you are listening to the podcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We want to bless the Lord for you on today. Yes, this is the day that He has made, and we will rejoice
and we will be glad in it. We thank God today for the radio broadcasting audience, for the audience that are listening today, the thousand and thousand of you that are listening to this broadcast. Yes, today, our topic today that we will be discussing is right attitude for ministry. And we want you to know that there is plenty for you to be in, to enjoy. There is much that a discussion that would go forth on today. I believe that God has a blessing with your name on it. The topic today, again, is right attitude for ministry. And our key verse today would be now about a faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of all the gifts is charity. And with charity, we have to have a right attitude for ministry. Our study text will be taken from the book, the 12th chapter of Romans, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, through that 13th chapter, and 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Our central truth today would be the Bible teaches principles for effective ministry of spiritual gifts. We would like to welcome to the broadcast today. Thank God for our panelists. Again, they are Miss Helen Hooper and Natasha Davis. And we thank God for what God has done. We thank God for what God is about to do. And just in case you didn't hear the prayer that was given, let us go into prayer and let us pray before the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise thee, we magnify your name, we thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, the word have we hid in our heart, God, that we would not sin against thee. Lord, we just thank you for what you have already done. God, what you're about to do. We thank you, God, for your miracle working power that's been manifested in the lives of your people. And today we thank you, God, because you have given us that of right and authority to ask in thy name. And God, we ask indeed, God, to move, God, like never before. God, give revelation knowledge, give understanding. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you, God, for moving and illustrating, Father God, the power of your word like never before. Father, for this we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, we just thank God. We thank God because even when we think about right attitude, I just want to walk you in to the introduction of our discussion on today. And we've already told you about our topic, which is right attitude for a ministry. And then we're going to be talking about having humility and grace. And then we're going to talk about being willing to serve. And the last topic will be motivated by love. But today, at the forefront of the speakers and our panelists going to be coming to you today, we want you to just think about some things as before our speakers get ready to come and to talk to you about right attitude for ministry. You know, the word of God tells us, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then when we look at the word of God and our right attitude, one of the things that we have is faith. And that is the top, and that is one of the things that God wants us to be able to have. Faith, hope, and charity. These three are so important. You say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, that is the hope, and the evidence of things not seen. We need faith We need to hope things that you don't see, yet you hope for them in faith, believing that God is going to move on your behalf. And then we look at charity. This is one of the topics that's so important that I want you to really be able to grasp and to understand, even throughout this discussion today. But we're going to get into that topic on love, which is important, and I think it is so important to every man, every boy, every girl, every woman, that they can walk in the love of God. So when we see, when we talk about love, we talk about things that are going to cause us to be able to survive, things that are going to cause us to act right, to be able to be in right communication, and to be able to live this life for Christ so that we can walk in charity. People without charity, we have to think about, we can't do anything without God. We have to think about our deeds, the things that we do. Are we doing these things according to love? I'm just walking you in to what we're going to be talking about today. We have to, anything we do, we have to do it by love. The good deeds that we do, sometimes people do good deeds, but they have what? They have bad motives. And they can't minister, they can minister spiritually gifts with a wrong attitude. So when you're looking at that, when you do a good deed, but when you have a bad motive for what you're doing, you have to watch that. And those are some of the things that we want to bring to the forefront of you, that you don't just do them just to be spoken well of. You don't do them because of the fact that you want to get a pat on the back. You don't do it because you want people to speak well of you. We have to watch our motive. And we have to know that the gift that God has given us, we must do it with a right attitude, not with a wrong attitude. And we should not, as Christians, minister, we shouldn't do these things in order to impress, try to impress God or try to impress people. A lot of people try to impress people. You know, what can I show them that would make them think that I'm a little better, I have a little bit more education, or whatever it may be, or maybe I have more work inside of me, or maybe I can do things to make myself look a little bit bigger in the outside. These are the things that we're going to be talking about today, that we're not going to be trying to impress anyone. The only person that we want to impress is God himself. And we should be the type of people that we should let God, the ministry that God has put us in, the ministry that we're walking in, that we should do with a great and a deep commitment to Christ. So as we get into this topic on the day of right attitude, we want you to be thinking about something. We want you to think about, you know, not that other individual per se, but we want you to think about how you're going to live this life of God, how you're going to walk this thing out. What are you going to do in order to be let God be glorified in you? So we want to go first. We're going to go to our first topic, which is have humility in grace. And that's going to be coming from Romans, the 12th chapter, third through that eighth verse. And we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Hooper to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Miss Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and hello to our Breakthrough family and all our listeners. Thank God for you. And I'll be coming, topic is have humility and grace. And that's going to be coming from Romans 12 chapter 3, the third verse through the eighth verse, and it reads as, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one in Christ, and every one member one another, having the gift differing according to grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, our ministry or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth in exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And here we see that Paul is actually speaking to the church, and what he's really saying is to each of us, he's given a warning here, because like Dr. McCorvey said when she started, sometimes we have to, we get all into ourselves sometimes because of the gifts that we have. And really here is saying to serve God with spiritual gifts, with your spiritual gifts. Whatever God has given you, whatever office you operate in, that's what you should be giving. You should be giving it wholeheartedly. And we know from our last broadcast, we've been keeping it consistent with how the body of Christ should be serving God and how we should be unified in God. So here we see Paul saying that this is a warning. It says to be honest. It's really to estimate of yourself, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. It says that to serve God and with your spiritual gifts. Some of us prophesy. Some of us, if you're a teacher, teach. If you're a prophet, prophesy. If you he gives us pastors, he gives us people in different offices, but we're all one body. We're all one body. We have different offices and different parts to play in the body of Christ, and that's what he's saying here. We're not to go off on our own doing anything, being all puffed up. We're not trying to get numbers. We're not trying to draw the crowd just for us. We're not trying to build churches, which are building, actual buildings, physical buildings, but we're trying to build the body of Christ. So here we see him telling them this is a warning. What we should be doing, we should be edifying the body of Christ. That's what God has given us these gifts for. He's given us spiritual gifts so we can edify, so we can build, so we can complete the body of Christ, so we can build the house of God, so we can get souls saved. He's not giving us those gifts for us to run out and do things on our own. So that's what he's saying here. We should serve him with our spiritual gifts. And if you have a gift of serving, serve. Whatever he has given you, God has given all of us, he says here, all of us a measure of faith. And we should go by that measure of faith. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to teach. God has given you an anointing to teach. God has given some of us anointing to preach. God has given us spiritual gifts in prophecy, healing, everything. But we use these gifts for the edification of the church, for the building of the body of Christ, not to do things on our own, not to just run off and just build buildings and number people. God wants us to come together. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to do things the right way. He wants us to think straight about our spiritual gifts. He gives everyone spiritual gifts, and that's what we need to. We need to teach our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ so people will know what they are, what their giftings are. Because some people don't know what their giftings are. Some Christians don't know what their giftings are. So therefore, if they're working and operating in the wrong offices, that's a bit of division. Because you're not getting the work done that you're supposed to be doing. God is applying to your hands, but you can't get it done because you're over here trying to prophesy when God has called you to teach or God has called you to preach. Some of the spiritual gifts, you're not operating in the right office. So we need to teach even as leaders of the church. We need to teach people, teach the congregation, teach the body of Christ what spiritual gifts are so they'll be knowledgeable about spiritual gifts. We should be really, really trying to tap into what God has us to do because like the word is saying, we all have an office to hold. We all have a work to do for God. I don't want to be lacking in the offices of God, in the gifts that he's given me. I want them to operate. I want them to be on point. So we have to get with God and know what we're doing, know how we're operating, because this is how we build the body of Christ. This is how we pull in souls. This is how we build his church, and it's all for one purpose. We have different offices. We have different things that we do. We have different callings on our lives, but we have different spiritual gifts also, but they all work for one sole purpose. We all work to edify the church. We are in when he gives us giftings, when he gives us spiritual gifts, they are complete. He equips us to do what we need to do in that area. So we need, as the body of Christ, need to come together. When we come together and we know our giftings, when we know what we're supposed to be doing for God, when we're not thinking, but we actually know because we got to, we went to God and we've been with him. We have a relationship with him. We know we have tapped into what we're supposed to be doing. You know, like for myself, I know God has given me this ministry for women. I know what my giftings are. I know how they operate so I can be effective. If you don't know what your giftings are, you are not effective to the body of Christ. You may be doing something and wasting time over here when God would have you to do something over here. He's applied this person to your hand for teaching and preaching, but you have him over here doing something else. So we should know our giftings because we have to build God's kingdom, and this is the way that we build his kingdom. He wouldn't have us running off, and he didn't give us giftings, like I said, for ourselves, because some of the body of Christ, and not all of the body of Christ, because there are some men and women, some leaders that are preaching the unadulterated word of God, and they mean what they say, and they preach the word. They don't change it. It is what it is. But we still need to know what and who labors among us and who has this gifting and who has that gifting, because this is going to edify the church. So when we go out to minister to people, when we go out, we know how we're operating, and when that will unify the body of Christ, even in whatever ministry that you're a part of, it will edify that church, and you will see a unification in that church, in that body, that people, when we come together and we operate for one sole purpose, it's just like the body. It's that it has many members, but we do it all together. If your head is cut off, then the rest of your body is going to just do absolutely nothing, because without a head, everything else is out of order. Your fingers, your toes, everything has a purpose. Your legs has a purpose. Your arm have a purpose. So just like in the body of Christ, when we have different giftings, when we have different things that we do, it all comes together for one common purpose, because we cannot operate without the other. We cannot prophesy. We need preachers. We need teachers. We need these things in the body of Christ. So therefore, when we're studying and when we're giving word, we should also be trying to edify each other. We, like Dr. McCoy said, we should do it in love, because this is the greatest. Love is the greatest thing that God gave us. So we need to be just getting with God, seeing what those spiritual gifts are, seeing how they operate, seeing how we can edify and complete the body of Christ, because, you know, God requires that of us, and we cannot be divided. And I said it last week, I believe, I don't know any time where I ever even thought that the devil's kingdom was divided. I don't think that his kingdom is divided, but we have our men and women of God in the body of Christ. We're always divided because we, like Dr. McCoy said, coming in, sometimes we get all puffed up and we think, okay, because we prophesy that we're better than that person. Because we teach, we're better than that person. Because we preach, we're better than that person. I got all this anointing on me, but nobody else can do this. God has millions of people that do same thing, different offices, different gifts, different spiritual gifts. He has millions, the whole world. He is maker. He made the universe. So the whole world operates on what he has it to do. So people have different gifts. If I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet. If God has anointed me to teach, I'm a teacher. If I'm a preacher, I'm a preacher. But let's bring that all together in the body of Christ, and let's get a work done. That's what he's saying here. He's saying this is a warning to the body of Christ to come together, to do what you're supposed to do. He says it takes all parts. We all have parts, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For each of us has a different work to do, but we belong to each other, and we belong to one body. So that's what he's saying here. Bring all these giftings in. Serve God wholeheartedly with your gift, your spiritual gift. That's what he would have us to do. He didn't give it to us for anything else but to edify and to build his church and to bring the body of Christ together. That's what he gave us spiritual gifts for, and that's what he expects you to do with it, not to build up man and not to impress anybody and not to go over here and try to build your own church and do this. He gave it to you to edify the church, to save souls, to bring in those souls to the church, to the body of Christ, so we will edify him and we can glorify him and we can make him proud as Christians, because the world looks at us, and whatever we do, we're always under a microscope because we call ourselves the men and women of God. We call ourselves God's people. So we want to get in, we want to show the world who we are, but we want to be in right standing. So let's unify. And that's what he said, let's unify. Let's bring all these spiritual gifts together and build the body of Christ. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank God for Miss Helen Hoover as she walked us through how humility and grace. And I believe that that is one of the things that we can be likened of when we are not walking in the grace of God, when we are not walking in humility. And I thank God because I believe that God wants his people to put on this whole armor of God. God wants to put on that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and to shine our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it is about having that humility, having a grace in our life, humbling ourselves before God. When we can humble ourselves before God, then we can humble ourselves before the people of God. You see, the reward of Christian service is not based on quality, but on our it's based on quality, not on quantity. How much we have done and how much we, this and that, because a lot of people think that, you know, if I do this and if I do something else, that this is going to make me stand out to other people. But what we want to do is to know how God feels about what we are doing and our purpose and our heart. Where is our heart? Does our heart line up with the Word of God? So we thank Ms. Cooper for coming and telling us about having that humility in grace. So next we want to move on, and we thank God because there are so many precious things and nuggets in the Word of God that if we just put them together, we know that we are so rich with the things that God has given us. So then we think in reference to having humility and grace, then we want to look at 1 Peter 4:7-11. And that topic there is be willing to serve. And in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and that 7-11, it reads, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the audience of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And when we look even at that last verse there, it says that Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So whatever we do, it should be for the glory of God. And we should be willing to serve God. When we serve man, we are serving God. If we can humble ourselves, you know, and serve God in our heart and everything we do, and not be superficial with it, but our hearts to be turned directly to him, and we have the love of God, then we can serve man faithfully, because we know when we love God, we love his people. And when we look at this, we look at James, and we look at John, and we look at Peter and Paul, and we look at most of all Jesus, and we look at the expectation. We should be looking at the expectation as they taught us of Jesus' return. We have to ask ourselves this question: am I looking for Jesus' return? Am I expecting Jesus to return? Am I living right? And I'm expecting for his return. And do I have the same mind? I'm on the same accord. Am I doing things that the Lord God will help me to do according to his word? How am I serving? What am I doing to bring glory to God? In this chapter, in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, it's telling us that we should be sober. We not only should be sober, and you ought to know in your heart when you are sober or not. You ought to be sober. You ought to watch. Bible say that man shall watch as well as pray. Then it tells us, they're telling us that we should have self-control. There are many people that's in the body of Christ that is out of control. But the word of God telling us, we have to examine our own self. We don't have to point fingers at anybody. We have to examine ourselves and see how we stand, how we line up with the word of God, how we line it up line by line and precept by precept. If we are not sober, we cannot be watching. If we are not watching, and we are not watching and looking for God's return, or watching and at the things and looking for his return, and looking at the things that will bring glory to God, that we can go further inside of him, then we will not be able to have that self-control. Because when we study the word of God, when we begin to love God, then I believe that God will lead, he will guide, and he will direct us. So God wants us today to have self-control. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to watch. And he also wants us to exercise self-restraint. We need to be able to do that, to have self-restraint. We don't have to have anybody to restrain us. The only person that needs to restrain us is God himself, God's word. He will lead you. He will guide you unto all truth. If we want God to lead and guide us, if we want God to keep us, I believe today that God, he is a keeper. I believe that the word of God say, he's a keeper. He's a mind fixer. He is a heart regulator. So therefore, we need to be able to restrain ourselves. Oh, no, I know that you can't do it by yourself. But I do know that through Christ, where God said that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. So when we look at the New Testament, it also tells us about love. The word of God say that we should love one another. You know, you ought to love people like you love yourself. You ought to love God people the way that he wants you to love them, not according to that your mentality or the way that you think about an individual, but you should love that person. You ought to love them the way that God loves them. We're walking today. We're walking. We're talking about being willing to serve. We should be expecting Christ to come at any time while we are serving. Are we watching? Are we waiting for God's return? Are we watching and knowing that any day, any hour, he could come? Because he said that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So I'm talking about expecting. We ought to be expecting Christ's return at any time. So if we expecting God's return at any time, then we will be genuine in our walk with God. We won't be phony. We won't be putting on. We won't be having a mind that is not of God. We will put on the whole armor of God. We will have that fervent love one for another. This is what the scripture, this is what 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 is talking about. And tells us about our attitude. It tells us that we should have an attitude that will overlook the faults and the failing of others. We should not be so quick to point fingers at each other, point fingers at the body of Christ, put fingers at the scenes wherein that our attitude will be negative to war against the things of God, against the people of God. It said that we should have we should check our attitude. We should overlook the fault. And we, and the Bible let us know that we should pray one for another. So when we're thinking about serving, this is a part of the life that we live as being saved. And if you're not saved, then this ought to be the life that you live. And after you have gotten saved, and if you're not saved today, then before this broadcast is over, we want to take you there. So then we need to guide ourselves. Another thing in this area and this scripture, it tells us about guiding ourselves against division. Do you know that there is division in the body of Christ? You know, we know that there's division out there in the world, but there should not be division in the body of Christ. If God did not know it, then he would not have the men of God to speak about it. He would not have spoken about these things. John and James and Peter and Paul would not have spoke about these things. But he said that there is division in the body of Christ. So one way that we should be able to stop division is to love one another, to not to fault find, to love the way that God has called us to love. Okay, but not only that, we need to show kindness. We know we need to show generosity to others. I mean, you ought to, that's something that it should be a natural thing for you to do. To show kindness. Father said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And also in this particular area, it says that it talks about the spiritual gift. It told us not to, you know, even as God has given a spiritual gift and God given a spiritual gift in the and the body of Christ, and I thank God for every gift. And we ought to thank him for being able to operate in the gift. But we ought to minister those gifts faithfully and with humility. All the things that God has given us, that God can be glorified, that God can be praised. And also we also need to be, even as God entrusted us with these gifts, then we need to humble ourselves that we can build up the body of Christ. I am bringing it to an end. Then Peter tells us that that if Peter divided these gifts, he divided into this in this particular chapter as speaking and serving. If we teach, such as prophesying the word of God, by giving a message or in tongues or exhorting, we are to speak as if God is speaking through us, and he is. Not that we're doing it ourselves. Not we're trying to take any pride in what we're doing, because it's not us, but it's Christ that live within. I love that scripture when Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's a Christ that lives within me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So when we're serving, God will supply what we need to accomplish his purpose. And last of all, service, it can involve our routine work around the church, using other spiritual gifts as, you know, even administration type gift. And regardless of what it is, whatever gift that we have, whatever ability that we have, we should be willing to do it and do it to the glory of God, because this is very essential. I thank God for allowing us to talk about how humility and grace that came from Miss Helen Hooper. And then the Lord allowed me to come and talk about be willing to serve. And then we're going to come, and God's going to put the icing on the cake, even as we have already have received so much. I mean, really, you have heard a lot today. God has given a lot to you in order to hear what he is saying, what he is speaking to the body of Christ, what he is speaking to the world. So we're going to talk about be motivated by love. I mean, that is God speaking. Be motivated by love. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Elder Natasha Davis to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Elder Natasha Davis.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy. I'm so glad to be with you on today and with the Breakthrough Broadcast family. Miss Helen Hooper, I want to thank God for her and for each and every person in the listening audience. I'm so excited today about our topic, and I'm so excited to be with you, sharing with you, being motivated by love. Our scripture text today is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, and then we're going to read chapter 13, 1 through 13. And it reads, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. And chapter 13, verse 1 reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, it is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Thank God for the reading of his holy word. We're being motivated by love is our topic on today. And I want to share with the listening audience that our motivation is the very thing that causes our doing. Anything that we do, there is definitely a reason or a cause that we act or choose. Anything that we say or anything that we do, there is always a motive, even if the motive is underlined or unknown unto you. But our actions are always driven by how we are motivated. And a lot of times we don't understand that our motivation has driven us to make certain choices. But we're talking about serving God on today and being motivated by the love of God to be of service to him and through his precious spirit. For God is love, and he is love to us. Everything that he does toward us, he does it in love. The word of God says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but they will live eternally. And so today, God is our example that everything that he does for us, he does it by his love. He's motivated to do things for us based upon the love of God. And so when we serve God, we must be very careful and pay close attention that we are serving God out of a pure heart, and we are serving God out of pure motives, not because we want a bigger house, not because we want a greater edifice to worship in, not to prove to people who spoke against us that we are really somebody in God. We are not to serve God or to give service to people or to God because we're trying to prove ourselves. But on the contrary, our worship and our service is unto God. For the word of the Lord does encourage us to not do things grudgingly or out of necessity, but God does love a cheerful giver, and he encourages us through his word that when we give, we are to give not grudgingly or out of necessity, but we are to give because he loves a cheerful giver. And I'm so thankful that God, he rewards us according to our obedience and according to our motivation to love him back. I recall in the text as we were reading and studying and really sharing with the people of God on today about being motivated by love, Jesus asked Peter a very important question. He said, if you love me, he said, you'll feed my sheep. It amazes me that God associates our doing by our love and adoration to worship him. And he also associates our disobedience with a motivation of selfishness and things that are of the nature of the flesh. And so when he asked Peter this question, he says, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. And then likewise to the children of Israel, he said, you know, if you're going to love me, if you're going to worship me, then you got to follow my commandments. You got to follow my commandments, and you have to do what I said to do in my word. And so we see that clearly in obedience in the word of God, that David was motivated by love when he protected the sheep, that Saul was motivated by selfishness when he disobeyed God and he did not follow out the commandment to wipe off and kill off the enemies that were against God's people. So today we have to realize that anything that we do, our prayer time, our fasting time, we can't do it to be seen. Matthew chapter 6 says that when you do that before people, when you give to be seen, when you make your prayers in the streets or in the sanctuaries, when you do things to be seen, God says in his word that you being seen is your reward, but only God can give you a reward in heaven based upon your works and your deeds that you did to love him in the earth. And so today we have to be encouraged, and we have to remember today that every time that we pack up ourselves and go to church, or every time we go to see about our neighbors, every time we pick up the phone and comfort our friends, that God is looking at our hearts. He's looking at our adoration to him. He's looking to see if we're motivated by greed. Every revival, every conference, every worship service, everything that we do, he wants to know if we're being motivated by our selfish intentions or if we're being motivated by love. But what love will do is love will stand up in you when you feel like being revengeful, or when you feel like being unforgiving. Love will rise up in you. That's what the nature of love is. Love will cover a multitude of faults. Love will suffer long with a person when you feel like giving up on them. God in you, hope, the hope of God in you will rise up in you to cause you to carry a person and to bear long with the person without you bragging that you stayed up all night comforting a bereaved person. Love will not even allow you to mention what you've done for a person, because why? Love does not keep a record of what you do, right or wrong. Love does not behave itself unseemly. So in the Word of God today, we have to remember, thank God for the time that we can rekindle our thoughts and renew our minds. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a pleasure to serve God. It is an extreme privilege to be able to serve God, but we must be motivated to serve God by love. And so as we go to day by day and day to day in our actions, we got to remember that love is reciprocal. When you plant something in love, love comes back to you. That means whatever you're sowing, God will never allow you to be in a place of need, and that which you've sown toward other people will not come back to you. God most definitely will allow that which you've sown to others to come back to you. So love is a reciprocal principle, that when you love, love is also given back unto you. And when you give, it's given back unto you, pressed down, shaken together. With good measure does he calls a man or a woman to give unto your bosom. And so as we about our teaching, our praying, our prophesying, we must remember that our motivation to see the lost saved must be and must always come from the love of God. I want to challenge every one of you who are listening to this broadcast that your effectiveness and whatever you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, your call to do or call to be, I want you to look at the fruit of what's going on in your life. Everything that you've reaped in your life, only what you're doing for Christ will last. There's never been an issue, there's never been a problem or a circumstance that you will not be able to persevere to pass if your motivation in love. Why? Because love believes all things and it never fails. If you're called to be a church, a pastor of a church, if you're called a minister, if you're called to go to the convalescent homes and to the prisons, God will always be right there with you in the midst of it, because God's love always prevails. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ellen and Tasha David. We thank the Lord for the women of God on today. We thank God for the word of God that came forth. We thank God because of the fact that God wants us to have that attitude, that right attitude for ministry. We thank God for all that we have heard. We thank God for all the listeners out there that was able to hear what God has given for this day and for this broadcast. We want you at this time, come on, go with us. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're going to pray that the Lord moves in your behalf. We're going to pray that God fights battles for you. We're going to pray that you receive everything that you heard today with thanksgiving and praise. We want to pray even now that if you have infirmity in your body, that God will heal you in the name of Jesus. Our Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We praise you. God, we magnify your name. God, we thank you, Father, for all the great and the mighty things, God, that you have done, great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord God, we thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we thank you for the light and the pathway today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you right now will open the windows of heaven. You will pour out blessings, that there be not room enough to receive. God, that you will rebuke the foul for the people's sake, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, the healing power, God, for those, Lord God, that are sick, Father, they are physically, spiritually ill, Lord. I pray healing, God, to be manifested in the innermost part of their soul, Lord God. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, those that do not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, you say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead. You said that they shall be saved. The Lord God, in Jesus' name, by the act of faith, God, let him confess before you on today, realizing, God, that you are here, realizing, God, that tomorrow is not promised unto us. God, realizing, God, that we can live this life, that we can live again. God, I come against all infirmities of the flesh. Father, I put in the word of healing, God, to the people that are suffering with infirmities in their body. I pray healing, God, even right now. Father, you paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. I believe, God, even right now, that there is nothing too hard for you to do, too hard for you, Father God, to do, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, no matter what infirmity that it may be, I pray healing upon them. God, I speak, Father God, and send the word, God, to those that are suffering. God, those that have the bad reports from their physician. God, those that have cancer, leukemia. God, those that, Father God, has glaucoma. Father, those that have sugar diabetes. God, those, Father God, that suffering mentally, God, those with bipolar diseases, Lord God, those with schizophrenic, God, diseases, God, disorders, I pray now that the healing power will be manifested, and whatever, God, in the name of Jesus, that they're going through, Lord, that they are healed right now by the power of the Most High God, and for this we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We once again would like to thank you for tuning in today at the Breakthrough Broadcast. We again would like to thank Ms. Elda Natasha Davis for being with us on today. May the blessings of God be with you all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.